You're listening to the Multifamily Women Podcast with Carrie Antrim, where we extract the knowledge from executive women in leadership and inspire emerging leaders with our thought leadership platform, offering a new model for personal and professional transformation.
Welcome to the Multifamily Women Podcast. I'm your host, Carrie Antrim, and we are having candid conversations with some of the most successful women in the multifamily industry. Before I introduce my guest and we dive in, I want to remind you that the Multifamily Women's Summit is coming up. Trust me, you cannot miss this. Head over to multifamilywomen.com and get your ticket today. And if you are getting value from these podcast episodes, please support it by subscribing, rating, reviewing. You know what to do. Also, your feedback helps tell me what you want to hear so we can tailor our content to your needs. And it also helps other multifamily professionals discover this podcast. So all of that is greatly appreciated. Today, we are delving into the world of user-centered design with our special guest, Amber Tran. Amber brings a unique blend of analytical acumen from her background in financial services and a passion for understanding user behaviors. Currently, she applies these skills at Visibly, a leading design intelligence platform purpose-built for multifamily property management. Now, Visibly is at the forefront of next-gen budgeting, forecasting, predictive analytics, and Amber's role as a product designer is crucial in designing experiences that add value to the end user. So today we're going to talk to Amber. She's going to share her insights and how the principles of this user-centered design can be translated into the world of multifamily property management. Amber, welcome to the show.
Hi, Carrie. Thanks for having me. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you. So first, I want to start with, what is it like being a product designer? What does that mean? What does a day in your life look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. Being a product designer, so this is my first role after pivoting from finance into this more creative direction. And it differs depending on where we are in the design process, on what our focus is, where we are. But it's a really rewarding role in learning from our users, leading with empathy, learning about workflows, how we can improve just processes across the board. So taking in all our insights and being able to synthesize them in a meaningful way, and then seeing just a bunch of collaboration just come to life, right? In the beginning, you're in this exploratory phase, don't know what you don't know, right? And so there's all these up in the air ideas. And so being able to put it out there and get feedback, whether that's internally or externally, really quite rewarding. And then you work on projects for quite a long time and seeing users actually use it in real time is another feeling. So I really enjoyed my time at Visibly and just working on building intuitive, user-friendly products that people feel good about using afterwards and feel, I always think of it as empowered by technology instead of almost fearful. So that's my summary about my time as a product designer.
So coming from the financial world, like you were saying, was that nerve-wracking, like having to go from something? So when I think of financial, I'm not sure exactly what you were doing in the financial world, but numbers are so concrete, right? Yeah. And then to go into this creative space, like you said, was that nerve-wracking or challenging?
Definitely. I'd be lying to say it was just, it's just similar and different, right? You're right in that finance, there's like concrete numbers where you're supposed to be, but there's also creative ways to get to whatever project you're working on. Design, it's a lot more fluid, right? So the processes go back and forth. So you might know where to start, right? You're in a discovery phase, you have an idea, you get to the design, and then you start to get feedback, whether that be, this is not what I'm looking for, or it'd be more helpful if you focus more on this feature rather than this one. So going back to the drawing board and figuring out, okay, what are my next steps? What are my really like user pain points from here? And then building off of that, I feel like in my previous roles, there's a start to end. It follows steps. Here, it's more fluid in that you get further down the line and you learn something new and you need to take it in and evaluate and iterate on that. So that's how I see the differences, but I do enjoy being more creative. I feel like work is just a lot more fun, the collaboration, and a little bit more fulfilling for me.
Now, your financial background, did that help with a transition to Visibly, since it's more of a budgeting, forecasting, predictive analytics? Was that helpful, having that background?
Yeah, definitely. I think it helped in my initial introduction with the company, just build the foundation for what we're trying to build here at Visibly, understanding just the key principles, being able to communicate and understand the terms, just have a level playing field on how discussions are ran. So I think it definitely gave me leverage in understanding the company and what we're trying to build here.
That's great. So we know that in multifamily, when you're designing an apartment community, the resident is ultimately the end user, right? So everything that's being designed and the architect and the interior, exterior, all of that is created with the end user in mind. And so I feel like there are some parallels between that and software design, because you also have an end user and everything is designed from the bottom up with that in mind. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting you point that out, because with Visibly, we're designing for many different user groups. I think likewise, on site teams, you have different end users as well. And it's very unique in thinking about the different pain points and the user needs of the different people who are touching your product, right? So for example, one of our main user groups are property managers. So defining what specific user flows that they are intending to do in our platform, what it means to be successful for them, identifying their pain points, and ultimately creating a very easy to use, intuitive platform that they feel comfortable with the functionality that we present to them. For example, whether it be human readable calculator inputs, whether it be digestible graphs, just having that all available. But on the other side to that, also being designing with the operations team is in mind, right? The owners and the executives being able to have all the charts and the graphs to drill in when needed and be clear and concise so that they can do the job that they need to do. So it's a mix of user groups and understanding at what point in our product we are prioritizing and maximizing for their user flow, ensuring that they're successful in our product.
And what are the most common challenges you're running into related to this user experience?
Yeah. So common challenges, when thinking about different, we want to optimize for everyone, but sometimes there's trade-offs, right? And also another challenge is, how I like to describe it is, you fail fast, you learn fast, right? You put things out there. Like I said, we get feedback on what's working and not working. Sometimes it can be just a little discouraging since you're so far along in the design process. Like maybe you spent weeks on just looking at this one mock and this one design direction to like slowly learn, this is not exactly what our users want, which is extremely important. You need to learn not to, you should build something that won't be helpful at the end. And so making sure that there's open communication early and often, whether that be internally with the engineers and what's technically feasible, but also with our end users in what they like or don't like about the product to make it more useful on their end. So balancing the goals of all the internal, external, business goal, technical feasibility challenges into one product, the constant kind of navigating through that.
Yeah. And you mentioned working with your engineers. So you're a product designer. You also have engineers. What is that like? How does that work as a team? Mm-hmm. And is it cohesive? Do you guys ever have difference of opinions on things? How does that all work?
Yeah, this is interesting. We have another senior designer on the team. Just a small shout out to Erin. She's really great. So learning from her in the initial process, because I've never worked with engineers before. And it's really helpful to bring them in early to see, hey, this is the direction we're going in with the technology we have, with the bandwidth we have. What's easy to do, what's more difficult to either implement on your end, and meeting halfway. And sometimes designs, we either need to simplify it to use the components we have in our design library, just making it open in that this is the direction we want to go to. And if it's taking longer, have valid points on whether we think it is more helpful in the long run or something we can let go and focus on a different portion of the design. So just being honest on both ends, on where we see in our each individual perspectives, which is really important, but definitely showing them designs early and explaining our reasoning behind why it is the way it is.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, what should owners and operators expect or even look for when implementing a new tech? And how do you, both with Visibly and just in general, and how do you manage expectations?
Yeah. So I speak really closely with the co-founders, and I think Brian puts it really great in when talking to owners, thinking about different processes, right? So what's currently, what they currently have in development, what's working for their team, and how, if anything, like our technology can either improve the productivity and efficiency of how everything's running. So if your properties are at a state where you can implement and train on a new platform like this, questioning whether or not in the long run, when you have to, there's a high turnover rate for property managers. If it is a product in which it is easy to onboard, right? And on a day-to-day base, just be in and improve the everyday life of the on-site team, right? We have a great customer success manager, Johnny Kabori. And so he works really closely with the customer team in defining timelines and expectations. You know, what would happen if certain deadlines aren't met? We need data, take a long time for data to be integrated. So on our end, we want to support you, right? And we want to make sure that by the time you want to complete specific needs, we're there every step of the way. But if there's delays along the line, just informing that if there's a delay here, it might push back down the in the future. And so just making it clear that we're here to help you and it's a mutually beneficial relationship when things happen on either end, being open and honest about what that means for the future state.
So with Visibly, it's, I mentioned it earlier, it's the next gen budgeting, forecasting, mm-hmm. predictive analytics. Can you tell us, for any listeners who might not be familiar with what exactly that means, can you tell us what Visibly does and how it's helping the industry?
Yeah, of course. So Visibly, when I first came here in here, really focusing on budgeting and forecasting, right? So what I learned from a lot of customers and a lot of properties is that it's a very manual process. Things are still living in Excel spreadsheets with formulas. And then during these budget boot camps, it's a dreaded kind of event that you just have to do. You have to be away from your property. And so with Visibly, we want to make it really easy for all users. So for your owners and your property managers to feel comfortable budgeting with Visibly and extremely user-friendly. And what I mean by that is easy data entry, very human-readable calculator. So if you want to say, I want 2% growth for my last year for a specific GL account, you don't have to go and find a sheet and then scroll and input it. You just put 2% and it auto-calculates. And being able to see everything you need to do need to know on one screen. So your historical data, like how did I perform last year or even the year prior, all in one screen without having to open any additional documents. And then for that owner, that manager, being able to set modeling methods, right? So that your properties are modeling all their GL accounts the same way for some level of consistency. And that's in terms of budgeting. And then what we're really building with next generation predictive analytics and decision intelligence is really exciting, bridging the gap between operational performance and financial impact. So what I've learned recently is, or throughout this process, is there's a lot of manual work everywhere, but with these Monday reports or with the property management systems currently being used, data is everywhere. When there's problems at a property or things happening, you have to wait for your Monday meeting to say, this is what we're seeing at your property. Maybe we suggest doing X, Y, and Z. A lot of accountability being lost in next steps or things like that. So bridging the gap in helping all users identify, like, these are the performance drivers that may be struggling at a property. If you take a look at these, can provide the highest impact to your main KPIs, like your occupancy, rent trade out, or your NOI. And then drilling in deeper with these responses that say, we're forecasting your occupancy to be off track from your goal. And then having responses that say, how can I improve occupancy then? And then evaluating your data and saying, based on our model, we see you're struggling with your renewal ratio. And it is currently lower than average. And I think a lot of products can do that, but we take it next one step further. And then we can provide the response in saying, so now I know I have a renewal problem. What can I do about it? And having suggestions that say, did you reach out to your 10 pending TBDs that are about to expire in the next 30 days to figure out maybe why they're on the fence. So just providing suggestions so that their flow doesn't end. They always feel confident that they have next step support into figuring out, like, what can I do? Like, where I am today is not where I have to be. There's always steps to where that this future forecast is going to be into ensuring that my goals are met.
Wow, that's fascinating. And are you seeing less human error in the process then? Like you mentioned, just sheets and sheets of Excel going back and forth. This obviously helps manage all that, maybe reduce some of that.
No, yeah, exactly. And then a lot of times I know what happens is reports are created. And then by the time you review them, things have changed at the property, right? So you may be talking about outdated numbers. And that could provide just a whole nother level of wasted time because maybe something that you acted on is improving, but you're talking about a point in time that's no longer relevant. And so to take a look into your property in real time every day with data, I think is that in itself is extremely valuable.
Absolutely. Are you noticing any trends in either software design or this budgeting forecasting that you're tracking?
Yeah. So it's really interesting. There's a lot of, I think we call it legacy design software that's been out there for a long time. You know, it works, but it's hard to navigate or it's hard to find data, but there's just so many users on it or no need to optimize. And so this push for really understanding all user groups and providing a user experience that, you know, tends to their needs, this simplified UI, but complex enough for that power user, right? Finding that balance and that intersection in which it's useful. It comes with its own challenges, right? But really making sure that we are user-centered and user-focused, because I know a lot of times the technology forced upon property managers may not be their decision or their choice wherever they're at. And so even though that's the case, they're the ones that are on site. So we want to really optimize and make sure that they feel comfortable and want to use a product like ours and make their process a little bit more efficient. And there's only so much technology can do. So we want to make it efficient in which you can focus on things technology can't replace. So building relationships with your tenants or building relationships with your team and understanding what's going on, where you may need to focus your attention a little bit more on. Technology can't replace those connections. So if we can give you a little bit more time back, I think it would be a huge lift for the property managers and the on-site teams.
I'm really glad you mentioned that because you mentioned earlier in the episode about fear around technology. And I think that's a big fear is that technology is going to start replacing jobs. But really, it's just it's more of a transition. The technology is there to support.
Yeah.
So the human can go do other things or be better at what they're doing, faster, more efficient, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, how do you measure success with your design or your product? How do you talk about that within your teams?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Measuring success, I think, differs depending on the product or the feature we're working on, right? But seeing the feedback we get post-launch, also seeing how many times like users are within the platform, what they are gravitating towards. Like, is a feature that we spent a long time building, if it makes their lives, like how much easier does it make their life? And I guess one example I can bring in is last year during budget bootcamp, right? We had the pleasure of interviewing or getting feedback from product managers post budget bootcamp and just always leading with constructive criticism and always taking that into account. And so asking what they liked, what they didn't like. And one of the users, a proud moment, but was saying, like, out of all the firms she's been at, this was the first time she left budget bootcamp feeling really confident and almost complete with her budget for her first round, which was like quite rare. And so she felt at ease going back to her property and just getting back to either resident complaints or tending to her property. And the time saved, she was just explaining the things that she could do, walk the property, things that, you know, maybe would have caused her a lot of stress and anxiety coming back, but she felt almost relief. So hearing feedback stories like that really helped in the process.
Yeah, that's got to feel really good, I would imagine, especially after all the hours you put in, I'm sure, and the hard work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So tell us, is there anything that Visibly is currently working on that you're really excited about that you're allowed to share, obviously? or something in the future that you're just super excited about?
I think our decision intelligence, what we learn from that. I think the reason being is we learn just so much from our users in the processes, and we've went through many iterations. And to get shortly into it, you know, where we started, if you took a look at the initial mocks and where it's at today, unrecognizable. The time and effort we put in the exploratory phase and then our first round of feedback from users. What happened is in our initial design, we validated some of our assumptions, but what it was, it connected the dots of operational performance, and it was almost like a report in telling properties what's going on at their property, all their key metrics and what's happening. But it did a really good at telling what has happened. These are the things you've done, maybe how it's compared to the past, but it didn't take it to the next level. In, like I said before, if you have a leasing problem, like it says that your leases are down or it's down by X amount. I think a lot of dashboards or BI, they do that. They compare periods where you are this time last year, but you see that and then you think, so what does that mean for my other numbers? Or what do I do now? I know it's going down. What's my next step? And there's conversations you can have internally, but we're building and developing almost like an assistant, a tool in which you can rely on for reliable feedback on, okay, we're seeing that your new leases forecast is down, maybe because you're not producing enough leads. So have you done these following things? So we're pulling in suggestions which they can keep track of. So they have their almost like a to-do action item list that they know what's next on their plate. And it's not in emails or not communicated just verbally. And also with that, building in what we're calling an operational playbook. And so this is a portfolio standard in which, you know, for as owner or operator, you know that all your properties are following kind of similar recommendations. So as a property manager, I'm having a problem with new leases. What are some recommendations that my portfolio recommends I take? They have that all within Visibly so that they can identify and say, maybe improve like landscaping, that it attracts more residents. Oh, this is an approved one. I can see if I can work on that with my team this week and kind of be proactive before the meetings. Because I don't think, you know, ever meetings will be replaced, but be proactive in communicating actions that you can take for the next step forward. And then having a reliable forecast that shows, you know, maybe in a week's time after you've implemented something, how your forecast has improved or declined. You can make decisions based off that. So really connecting operational performance in real time, being able to make strategic decisions, feel confident in your decision, and just having that assistance there and that support within Visibly Discovery at every step of the way to know how you're trending and what you can do today.
I'm wondering, have there been any surprises in a feature you created that you're like, yes, this is awesome, and the users are like, or something that they've wanted that you're like, oh, I didn't think about that?
The first thing that pops in my mind is I remember just interacting with users, and I know we had this whole feature thought out of whether or not we should track the budgeting process and the stages of budgeting, because it goes through so many iterations in itself, and like where it is at the stage, what's happening. And then I remember some users were just like, can I just save a GL account? Like, can I just save it so I can come back to it? Because, you know, I didn't have enough time during the allocated time, or I just want to double check something, some documents in my email that I can't find at the moment. So can we just have a feature like that? And I remember thinking, that's quite easy to implement, but I don't know why it just didn't cross my mind.
Yeah.
So with a small team like this, everyone's proactive and it's really cool. So we mentioned it, right? And we put out some mocks and we were able to get it to our users during the same budget season so that they can still use it in the second iterations and beyond. But I just remember thinking, it's just sometimes you need to push out a design and then have the users tell you what they want. It's the only way to know. And something as simple as that went a long way. And just, oh, here are all the ones I need to circle back to. And that was that. That was all they needed.
Yeah, I think you just need that perspective sometimes, because we get so focused and on the product and it's all we can think about, that like something, like you said, so simple. Oh, of course we can do that.
Yeah,
great exactly. Idea. Any final thoughts or anything I should have asked you that I didn't?
It's just a really exciting time being able to leverage technology, see how it impacts this industry, see how users interact with it, and just get overall feedback to see. We just want to improve outcomes, improve processes, and build a meaningful product that people just enjoy using and want to be in it. And with that, a small shout out to your Women's Multifamily Conference. So I'm really excited to go to that and learn from other women in this industry and their struggles and empathizing with them and continuing to build off of that.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to attend too for your first time. That's so fun. I can really hear your passion for this when you speak about it, and that is inspiring. So I want to thank you for being here today and being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's wonderful to chat, and I'm really excited to learn from you and get to know you a little bit better in the future.
Absolutely. And anytime we can bond over Taylor Swift, I'm in for that.
Definitely.
Before we say goodbye, I want to remind you to connect with our guest, Amber Tran, on LinkedIn. She's obviously an excellent source of information. And of course, we'll include a link to her profile in the show notes for easy access. Speaking of show notes, be sure to check them out for a recap of our conversation, along with other resources mentioned during the episode. These resources can provide additional insights and tools to help you in your journey. And as we wrap up today's episode, I'd like to extend an invitation for you to join our Women's Leadership Series. By becoming a part of this initiative, you'll gain access to our private community. We have over 5,000 members now. It's a great place to exchange ideas, inspire each other, and just grow together. You can also find that on multifamilywomen.com. Just click on the word join. And check out the Multifamily Innovation Advisory Council. If that sounds like something you're interested in, you can register also for the Innovation Summit. Both of those you can find at multifamilyinnovation.com. And all of these links, of course, will be in the show notes. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the Multifamily Women Podcast. To register for the upcoming Multifamily Women Summit, be a guest on this podcast, or join the Women's Leadership Series, visit multifamilywomen.com.